Thank you for letting me come today. It is good to see Brother Gibson. It was good to be in the Cook household today, and a wonderful meal. Sister Angela just outdid herself. And the children, Sister Leach said, tell you children hello. She's sorry she didn't get to see you today. Alan, Lydia, Hannah. You know that Lydia's going to be a doctor, didn't you? Yeah. Do you young people know what you're going to be? She wants to be a doctor. Praise the Lord. We need some good Christian doctors. And I ask Alan, what are you going to be? He says, I want to be 13. I said, well, Alan, why do you want to be 13? So I can play the trombone. Praise the Lord. If he's going to play it for the Lord, that's good. Amen. So it's been good to be here today, and I'm sorry my wife couldn't be here with you. And she said she wished she could come and greet you all tonight, but she just couldn't make it. Praise the Lord. Well, if you got your Bibles, let's go back to 1 Peter again tonight and go to the second chapter instead of the first. The first five verses of that second chapter of Peter is really rich. And I'm not sure that I have the ability to get out of it what's in it, and will not try to do it all this evening. But let's look at it for just a few moments and see what the Lord has for us. Maybe we need to stand and honor the Lord in prayer before we get into His Word. It's good to be able to feel God's presence. Let me say this to you tonight. If you keep anything around this church at Wiseball, keep God's presence and God's glory. That's what the world, our families and our friends that doesn't know Him, that's what they'll sense when they come in. Is God's presence. And just always keep Him here where they can come in out of the storm and feel Him. He's their help. Father, we thank You tonight for the privilege to look at Your Word one more time. We thank You for this congregation this evening and those that You've allowed us to come together just as we are tonight. We pray that You'd honor Your Word to our hearing and to our hearts. As we honor You tonight and as we exalt You and lift You up, Father, if we know our hearts this evening, we want to do Your will and be all You'd have us be. For one day, we want to see inside the city whatever You have in store for us. We want, Lord, what You have for us tonight. Bless, we pray. Continue to help this little church, Lord, as they grow and as they get their families in and as the friends may come by and get saved. We pray that You continue to help them. Father, for what You do, we'll thank You for it, for we ask it in Your name. Amen. Sometimes I think that we preach two works of grace, and we trust that they work. We preach that a person needs to be saved, and a person needs to be sanctified. What then? What happens then? Let's look in chapter 2, beginning with verse 1 there, and read a few verses there of 1 Peter. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so, be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as the lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Certainly we need to be saved. Every individual needs to know that every sin has been forgiven. Sins committed. Someone just asked me a few days ago, when I confess my sins, do I have to name every one of them? I said, well, if it's in my case, it'd probably be an impossibility to have went back and named everything that I did wrong. There were a few things that stood out when I was kneeling at an altar of prayer and somebody on this side was saying, hold on, and somebody over here was saying, turn loose. I didn't know whether they wanted me to hold on and turn loose. All I knew that I needed God. And some of those things came up before me, and I confessed them to the Lord. Aren't you glad you don't have to go to a priest, tell him all about the things that you've done, and you confess to him? You don't have to tell anybody but the Lord. But we confess those things, those evil deeds and sins that we committed. We get those under the blood. What we do is confess those that are laying heavy on our hearts and minds, and we get them out of the way. And then at the end of our prayer, we just lump them, the rest of them together. And Lord, everything else that I did that I can't think of, would you forgive me? And we get the sin business out of the way. We get every committed sin covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. After all, that's why he died on the cross, was to save us from our sins and cover them by the blood. Whereby that God can't see them anymore because he can't see through his son's blood those sins that we committed. Praise the Lord. And we need to keep them there. They need to stay there. They don't ever need to be resurrected. The devil sometimes will bring them up, but hey, that's all he's got to do. He hadn't got anything better to do than go around and bring up your past. But there's nothing at all he can do about it. It's already been taken care of. Then we preach another work of grace whereby we allow the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts. We invite him there, and it isn't in the struggling when we pray for sanctification. It isn't in the beating of the chest or wringing of the hands, but it's a yielding of our hearts unto God, that he can take us and use us and make us whatever he wants us to be, an instrument in his hands whereby he can use for his glory. And he comes in. The Holy Spirit comes in, takes up his abode in our heart. And years ago we used to hear that old song about sweeping behind the door and all those things, you know, where the Holy Spirit comes in and cleans out our hearts and takes his throne there and lives there. But then what? So we get saved and we get sanctified. We get all of our sins taken care of and we promise never to do them again. And we let the Holy Spirit come in, or we allow him to come into our hearts and reign there supremely. But what do we do then? Well, it tells a little bit about that here in second chapter of 1 Peter. It tells about what we should do after that. Well, after we're saved and sanctified, I want to tell you something. There's a heap of living. Now, that's a Kentucky phrase, a heap of living. There's a whole lot of living goes into being a Christian. And my wife would say, if she would testify, she's got this phrase, she says, there's a life to live. More than just what we say, more than just what we think, more than just what we can read. It's a life that we live. And I want to tell you something. Sometimes that isn't easy. Because why? Because we're living in a world that doesn't live that way. It seems like we're living in a world where it's kind of a dog-eat-dog situation. Everybody from himself. You know, I'll get what I can get and don't worry about the rest of the world. You know, but that's not what we that are Christians, that's not the way we live. We don't only live to ourselves, we live unto God, but we live for others as well. Somebody says it's like this: God first, others next, and then me last. You know, I think the world's kind of got that upside down. Them first, the others, and then God, if there's anything left for God. But we're Christians. We've been saved. We've been sanctified by the Holy Spirit of God. So what happens after that? A heap of living. Born into the kingdom of God. Let's look here in the second verse. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. How many of you like to eat? Let me see your hands. Some of us like to eat more than others, right? It's obvious. Most of us like to eat, don't we? Well, that's what it's talking about here. First of all, there are three things that I want to suggest to you tonight after we get ready to live for the Lord. There are three things that I think are very vitally important. The same as your physical is important. One of the things is to have, first of all, a healthy appetite. You know, I go to the doctor I got two doctors. I've got a general practitioner, and then I have my cardiologist that I go see, and I stagger them. I'd like to get them both together where I just have to pay one bill to both of them, but they don't seem to want to do that. They want me to come. But anyway, one of the things they ask, do you have a good appetite? Well, usually they don't have to ask me because the first question they ask is how much you weigh. Go in, the first thing they do is put you on a scale, see how much you've eaten since the last visit. And first of all, I think to be a good, healthy Christian, we have to have, first of all, a good, healthy appetite. Well, I'll tell you, I went to the cookhouse today. It's really a cookhouse. It was delicious. Because I've got a good appetite. I love to eat. We go into some of those restaurants, and I have to stay away from them anymore. Those all pay one price and eat all you want. I'm kind of tight when it comes to spending my money for that. So when I go to those places, I feel like that I've got to eat as much as I can to get my money's worth. You understand? But I've got a good, healthy appetite. I never go to the salads bar part of it. I don't waste my energy and time eating the salads. You know, you'd have to eat a lot of lettuce for $15, you know. Where I go is I get the biggest container that I can find, and I go to the meat bar. And I round it up with, well, if they've got good fish, I'm a fish eater. Didn't they say as a fish catcher, I'm a fish eater, and I like to eat fish. So I go to the good, healthy stuff, the things that sticks to your ribs. To the midsection. You know, that's the part I go to. To have a good, healthy appetite. It's important to have a good, healthy appetite when it comes to spiritual things. And listen to this. An earnest desire for spiritual nourishment. Alan said, I want to be 13. He wants to grow. Young people want to grow. They want to get bigger. And usually they want to grow up to be like somebody. They have an appetite for that. And when we get saved and are born into the kingdom of God, we must have a good, healthy appetite so we can grow. We need something that'll stick to our spiritual ribs and help us to grow. Because somebody will come along behind us and want to be like us. Would you want some of these young people around to pattern themselves after you? If so, then we need a healthy appetite to desire spiritual nourishment. Something to make us healthy and strong. Something that's important is a real craving for spiritual truth. Don't ever be afraid of the truth. The truth will always be the same. always tell the truth, always adhere to the truth, because it'll always be the same. A lie you have to remember. I had a brother-in-law one time. He was the best liar that I ever knew in my life. Why? Because he could remember what he lied about. Some people lie and they forget what they say. And so the next time you hear it, it's different. It's another lie. But he couldn't. He wouldn't. He'd tell you the same thing over and over, but every time it'd be a lie. That's the way he was. Sitting on the porch one day and he come flying in. He said, an airplane just crashed in the Ohio River. Yeah, Charlie, we know. An airplane just fell in the river. You know, another one of his little fibs. Lo and behold, an airplane did crash into the river. He told the truth for once, but nobody believed him. But if we're going to be healthy Christians and we're going to desire the spiritual things, the nourishment that we need spiritually, first of all, we have to adhere to the truth. We have to have a craving for the truth. When I first had my heart surgery, I was really conscious of what I ate. Boy, I tell you, this is it, this is it, this is it. And I got to where I didn't eat any sweets, and I didn't want sweets because I put that part out of my diet. But after I got feeling better, the doctor said, you'll be doing things that because you'll feel better and you won't do that anymore. Well, he was right because the craving for the sweets came back. Consequently, when I got the craving for the sweets, guess what else came back? Part of that 32 pound that I lost that the doctor wanted me to get rid of, came back. Why? Because I had a craving for the sweets, the things that put that on. And I want to tell you something. You can be a spiritual giant if you'll have a craving for those spiritual nourishments, the truth. The truth. This is truth. God's word is truth. And you say, well, I can't understand it all. You don't need to understand it all. Read it prayerfully. When you read it, let God help you. He'll give you the truth. He'll give you what you need. He'll help you to understand just exactly what you need to keep you healthy. We need a healthy appetite. We should cultivate a discriminating taste against things that aren't good. Did you ever try to feed a baby something he didn't like? Blah. Here, eat these apricots. Blah. You might as well just save your money on those things that they don't like. Buy what they like. Feed them, and boy, they'll just eat it down. Well, that's what he's talking about here. Newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. And if they get something they like, boy, they'll just eat it down. Then we should acquire a sensitive palate in respect to spiritual things. You know what your mouth palate is? Everybody know? Do you ever go to a nice, fancy restaurant? I mean fancy. Everybody been in Louisville? Everybody know where the Galt House is? On the river. It's got a big round restaurant right up on top of it. It's a hotel. On the top is a big restaurant. And you sit down and it goes around like this. And while you're eating your meal, you can just look out over Jeffersonville and New Albany. And you just keep looking up. It goes around down on West Louisville and then South Louisville, and then East Louisville, and comes all the way back around. If you sit there long enough, you just go round and around. But the more you go around, the more it costs you. We ate there one time. A couple took us there. Sandy and Floyd Coates. Some of you knew Floyd, knew Sandy and know Floyd. Well, Floyd took us there, and here we are, a couple hillbillies out of Kentucky. He takes us to a big fancy restaurant, and we sat down and had the real napkins, and you didn't stick them in your shirt either. You just kind of laid them out, and you didn't eat with your elbows on the table, and And the waiter, he brought it on a tray, on a cart, you know, and it's flaming up on the cart. I thought he's going to burn the place down. But the first thing they brought out was a palate cleanser. Everybody know what a palate cleanser is? It's not somebody that cleans a palate off that the forklift brings in. It's something that cleans your mouth. You know why they do that? Makes the food taste better. You get the full benefit of the taste of the food. So they bring this little dish. It looked like sherbet of some sort, okay? This is a palate cleanser. I'm glad you told me. I would have thought it was dessert first. So anyway, I take their palate cleanser and I sit down and take my spoon and I eat this. And sure enough, boy, it just cleans your mouth out and refreshes your mouth. That when they bring the food, I mean, tell you, when they brought that steak and all those things, it tasted so good. You know, this one writer in this commentary that I read said, what we need is a spiritual palate cleanser that would cleanse us, that when we take in God's word, it will taste good to us. It will become a part of us. And we'll grow and we'll be what God wants us to be, because he's going to feed us just exactly what we need to be what we need to be. Praise the Lord. You got fast clocks down here. Spiritual things. We need a palate cleanser in respect to spiritual things, that we adhere to them and that we're drawn to spiritual things. Listen, young people, if you need help, go to somebody that's spiritual. Go to somebody that'll tell you the truth. Don't go to somebody that'll side in with you and going to tell you maybe do it less than what God expects you to do. Go to somebody, you know, when I got my call to preach, I went to my pastor, you know, and I thought he's going to be elated that I've been called to preach, and he's really going to be excited that one of his young men's going to be called to preach. So I went to see him, and lo and behold, he began to tell me about what preachers do and all the things that's involved in preaching. And when I left there, I thought, whoa, is this something I really want to do? Well, he was just telling me the truth. So young people, if you want to know the truth, go to somebody that's spiritual, somebody they have confidence in spiritually, and let them advise you. Why? Because you have got a sincere desire in your heart for spiritual things, and you don't want anything less than what God wants you to have. Praise the Lord. That's why some people are at my age and they're not very spiritually healthy. There's some people that when we got saved in our local church, there's a number of young people got saved, and some of them aren't any more spiritual now than they were back when they first got saved. They wandered around all these 46 years or 44 years, whatever it's been, that we've been saved, and they're not any better off spiritually than they were then. Why? Because they didn't create a spiritual appetite, an appetite for spiritual things to take spiritual nourishment. And when we get saved and sanctified, beloved, that's not the end of it. That's not the end of it. You don't grow into grace, but you grow unto grace. Once you're there, you grow in grace. And you expand your boundaries. Well, that little baby you got in your arms there, what if they never grew? What if when they're 40 years old, you're still carrying them around in your arms? There's something wrong there. There's a lot of people sitting around the church world that you still got to give them a little lullaby. You got to, you know, if you don't, they're upset and they're gone and they're angry, and you just kind of got to pamper them. Now, come on, coo for me. You know, get you. And they're babies all their life. Why? Because they didn't have any desire for spiritual things. Then number two, you not only need to have a healthy appetite, but you have to have healthy food. You have to eat right. What is there, seven basic food groups? Five or seven? I don't know. It's been a long time since I've been in school. For me, that's about 20. But you got to have good food to eat. And old McDonald's farm isn't always the best place to go get something to eat. You know? Loaded with grease. But I stopped on the way down yesterday and took Caleb. 3.5 chicken sandwiches that boy ate. Where are you, Caleb? At McDonald's. Well, that's the least of the evils there at McDonald's, is their chicken. If you're going to go, eat the chicken. Eat good, healthy food. You know, eat good, healthy food. If you want to be healthy, you got to have healthy food. God's truth, God's holy writ, is healthy food. Peter said here, milk of the Word. Get into the Word. If you want to be spiritual, you got to be fed spiritually. In God's Word. Okay, so we're new young Christians and we start in... Caleb said Genesis is the first part of the Bible. I said, no, the index is. So we had an argument over what's the first book. I said, the index. But anyway, you start at Genesis and you get into the Old Testament reading, and you that are young converts, don't just go there and read that. Go over and pick you up a Psalms and a Proverbs with it, you know. Get something that'll keep you interested. I mean, you get in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and the Begats and the Begats and all those things. I mean, you could drown in that. I mean, that's some serious reading. It's some good reading. But usually a lot of that's for some mature Christians that's been around a while. But go over and get you a Psalm, or start out in 1 John or somewhere like that, and get you some New Testament, something that will create you a good appetite for Bible reading and read God's Word. It's good food, spiritual food for us, for our minds and for our hearts. You'd be surprised how much better things will go if you get into God's Word and let it become a part of you. Healthy food. And then last of all, number three, have to have a healthy growth. You have to have a good appetite, good food, and then maintain it by growing. There are a lot of people around that they're either anorexia, and that's when you don't eat enough, or you're obese, and that's when you eat too much, or you have too much. Now, for my frame, I got a little upset, that nurse, you know. I went in, and I weighed 230 pounds, you know, and she took a bone density thing and measured the bulk of the mass of my body and come back and it said obese. I didn't like that. Truth hurts sometimes. You know, truth hurts. And look at it every way you want to. I was overweight, you know, but spiritually speaking, there's some, you know, they're way over here on this side and everything's wrong and you can't do anything and humbug and blah and all this stuff. Somebody had, you know, some people don't have anything good to say about anything at any time. You know the ones I'm talking about. I'm not going to name any names. I could, but I'm not. And every time you see them, you know, they're a pessimist. They're on that side. They're negative. Everything's negative. Everything. President's no good. The two that's coming up, neither one of them's no good. And all the politicians are bad. Well, there's a lot of truth in that. But listen, we got to have them. I mean, that's the way the world goes. We got to have them. So you just take the less of the evils and you go on. You know, you can find a little bit of good in everybody. But there's a certain amount of people, you know, here they are, they're mature Christians, and they don't find any good in anything or anybody anywhere. Be careful there. Then on the other hand, you got some that there isn't any wrong in anything. Everybody's a Christian. And the devil wants to come to church. Just make him a place and invite him in and let him throw some money in the offering. And just, you know, he's just like anybody else. You know, you can go here, you do anything. You can go anywhere and do anything, and be anything, and say anything. Still a Christian. See, that's over here and that's over here. But God wants you to be here. He wants you to be here, in the middle. And it takes a whole lot of living. Edward, that little thing you had today with the bubble in it, you know? You got to keep an equal balance to that thing to get that little bubble to go where you want it. If you haven't tried Edward's little bubble thing, try it sometimes. It's a little bubble that you got to get around through here and get it to where you want it to go. And I thought about that today. It takes a lot of work to get that bubble. Watch, you're going to drop it in a hole that it's not supposed to go in. And you just got to work it around. It's kind of like being a Christian. It's the way the Lord wants me to go. Oh, yep. And you just make your way through this old sinful world that we're living in. And the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you and keep an equal balance and get you to where He wants you to go. He will. He absolutely will. He will get you to where He wants to go, wants you to go. I've been saved 40-some years. Would you believe I'm still making restitutions? Anybody know what a restitution is? You see, I manage a cemetery. I work with the public. You and I are public. We're the public. I work with people. When you work with the public, with people, you have problems. I had a lady call me. And I have 32,000 graves, okay? There was a hole in one about this big around. And when it rains sometimes, the dirt that goes around those vaults, it takes a lot of rain, and then eventually it'll settle down. Well, it'll leave a hole. Well, she called all. She was irate, man. There's a hole in that grave. Yes, ma'am, I know. We often get holes. Well, there was no appeasing her. I should have known that. I should have filled it up. I should have done all these things. Yes, ma'am, if I know it, I do fill those up. Well, my brother's coming down, and he's going to give you what for. I mean, she threatened me. Well, the conversation didn't get any better. I said, you know, I just got out of the conversation, hung it up. I hang up on people. You say, that's not nice. I know. But it's not nice to get after them either. So rather than get after them, I just hang it up. I mean, I pay for that phone. My money goes to pay it. I hear on that phone what I want to hear. If I don't hear what I want to hear, I just get rid of it. I tell my wife, she said, so-and-so called and she talked for 2 hours. I said, hey, it's your phone. You're paying the bill. When you get enough of what they're saying, just say, I have got to go. I'll talk to you later. Goodbye. That's the way I do it. Well, I was mowing the yard. Mowing the yard, trying to keep that little bubble, you know, get it to go where it needs to go. You know, the Lord's trying to get me to where I need to go. And the Lord said, you wasn't too nice to that lady. Well, Lord, she wasn't nice to me at all. But you're a Christian. Wow. Oh. The Lord said, you need to apologize to her. Well, Lord, I don't know who she was. I don't know. She lived down in Kentucky somewhere. I said, I don't have her phone number. He said, you got a cell phone? She called you on your cell phone. It's still on there. Oh. So I went back to receive calls, and I went through there and I punched it up. Oh, there's one there. I don't know who it is. The Lord said, apologize to that lady. I just shut the mower off. Went around to where it was quiet and where I could see my numbers on the phone, and I punched that number up. And I said, is this the lady that called the cemetery today and talked to me? She said, yes, it is. I said, ma'am, I said, I want to apologize to you and ask you to forgive me for what I said today. She said, did you sin? No, I don't feel like I sinned. I just talked unkind to her. The Lord thought I did. It was total quiet. She didn't know what to say. I said, you know, it was really unbecoming of me to talk to you that way, and I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? And finally she said, well, yes, I will. I'll forgive you. So when the conversation ended, man, I felt good. You know, I got that thing out of the way. If I'd have left it alone, tomorrow, the next day would have been bigger. And the next day bigger. And I could just kept going and let it go. And that would have become a part of my diet. And it would have been healthy for me. See what I'm saying? You can eat enough junk food that becomes your diet and it's not healthy for you. What we need is a diet of the truth for healthy growth. Now, I'm not saying anybody has a restitution. I did. I had to call that lady and apologize to her. I have got to grow spiritually. And I can't afford to get down when I have my devotions and have anything hinder me there, because I'm heading somewhere. The Lord's trying to get me to heaven, and I want to do my part. You know, the Lord's not going to do everything for us. He's going to leave some things up to us to do. And He'll never do anything for you that you can do yourself. Healthy growth. Grow in grace. That we may grow, it says here in this scripture, that we may grow unto salvation, full, complete, and perfect in the sight of God. Are you going to be a perfect individual? Absolutely not. You're human. We're human. And when we get saved and sanctified, and when we walk in all the light that God gives us, we still have human traits, and we're human. And we'll make mistakes, but the secret is fixing up those mistakes we make. Why? Because we want to grow healthy spiritually. Praise the Lord. Just keep it clean. Just be what God wants you to be every day, one day at a time. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let the sun set on anything that's bothering you. Take care of it. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go over there, and I don't know what the Ziegler's eat, but I'm going to go through all the pantries and all the refrigerator and all the places when I go over there before I go to bed and find me something that's going to make me real good and healthy before I go to bed. You know, and spiritually we have to do the same thing. The same thing. Grow in knowledge. Grow in spiritual enlightenment. Let the Lord speak to you. Grow in holiness. Be ye holy as your Lord God is holy. Be holy. Grow in holiness, laying aside all sin. Put away all sin and malice and evil speaking. Praise God. Stand with me. Bow your head tonight.